Psalm chapter 4 tonight, the Bible said in verse number 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Father in heaven, I ask you tonight to touch us as we endeavor to look into your word and see something, our Father, that might encourage us along the way. See something, Lord, that might challenge us to be more like Jesus. Might challenge us, our Father, to have a deeper burden and concern for the lost and for one another. I ask you, dear Father, tonight to reach down over there in the ICU, Lord, and touch Sister Viola. Lord, I know tonight she loves you. And I pray, God, you'd touch her. I pray, dear God, if the time comes that she must cross that river, God, that you'd make that crossing so peaceful and so easy. Lord, we pray tonight now that you'd take control of the service. Lord, it's an honor to stand here tonight, a privilege with the Bible open and our hearts open, our ears open and attentive unto thy word. Thank you, Father, for each one that's come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you will, turn back over to the book of Ruth with me. And I want to look at something tonight. And we've studied this book before, I know. I know one year, I think I preached through the book of Ruth to the youth at one of the camps when Brother Johnny was here. And we had a good time in the book of youth, in the book of Ruth, preaching to the youth. But anyway, tonight, what's in my heart, we said stand in awe and sin not. That's what we've been talking about. And we stood in awe in chapter number 1 of how that God can turn things around. Even mistakes that God's people make. I want to say this tonight, I want to say it humbly, but if God couldn't overlook mistakes, I couldn't be standing here tonight. If God couldn't take blunders and turn them around, then I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Amen. God's been good. And that word mercy in that song a while ago, Brother Ralph, just kind of stuck out. Mercy. There was great, and grace was free. Brother Mays used to preach, justice called, but mercy answered. Thank the Lord. And tonight, we've talked about she had the right faith. Ruth had the right faith. I'm not going to go back and re-preach it, but I just wanted to remind you how we started out in chapter number 1, how that God turned things around in the life of Naomi. And in the life of Ruth, I preach the message here at this church. There's some messages that just stick out to me. But you remember when the Bible said, Ruth in verse 21 of chapter 1 said, I went out full and the Lord hath brought me again empty. I preach the message here in this church. And I don't remember the points, but boy, how God dealt with my heart. The title of the message was Not As Empty As You Think. There are times when you and I feel like we're running on empty. But boy, if you just start looking at the things that haven't changed. Amen. And God had blessed Naomi in a special way. Now, in chapter number 2, we stood in awe not only of how God can turn things around, but how God can put you right where you need to be. And I think a lot of times, Brother Larry, people think that's only for a missionary or that's only for a preacher. But I tell you, every child of God ought to want to be right where God wants them to be. And I believe that concerning the church. I believe that concerning our job. Say amen. And I believe that to be in God's will means that's not just a Sunday thing, that we walk with God every day of the week. And so God put Ruth right in the right field. We saw God's provision in that field, and we saw God's protection in that field, and we saw God's providence in that field. The Bible said her hap was the light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Now what I want us to do tonight, in the end of chapter 2 and coming into chapter 3, is I want to stand in awe tonight, not only how that God turned things around, the right faith, how that God can put you right where you need to be in the right field, but I want to look tonight, and beginning this message tonight, on how God can use one person to aid another person. And I call that the right feet. I want you to understand tonight, listen to me, this is the emphasis of the message tonight. I don't know if we'll get into chapter 4 or not. I hope we do. But if we don't, what I'm emphasizing right now in chapter number 3 is that Ruth did not end up at the feet of Boaz by herself. Did you hear me? Everybody knows tonight that Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. But Ruth does not end up. Brother Larry, I've read the book of Ruth a long time, but I've never seen this truth before. She doesn't end up there by herself. And I'm standing in awe tonight of how that God can use one woman, Naomi, to help another woman, Ruth, and she ends up in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to emphasize that tonight. There's young people here tonight. There's people that's not so young tonight. And people like me, it's stuck in the middle. Here I am stuck in the middle with you, Brother Ralph. Amen. 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 But God wants to use every one of us to come to the aid of someone else. You say, now, preacher, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to get them to the feet of Boaz? No, we're trying to get them to the feet of that kinsman redeemer, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're trying to get them to the foot of the cross, trying to get them to see their need of Him. Look at this with me tonight. The Bible said in verse number 20 of chapter 2, and Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, and one of our next kinsmen. Now let me ask you something tonight. How much do you think Ruth knew about those truths? I believe she knew very little. She knew enough in Moab, Brother Rose, about Naomi's God to say, I want your God to be my God. I want your people to be my people. Where you dwell, I want to dwell. And where you die, I want to die. She had confidence in that one. You know, somebody's got confidence in you. And somebody's got confidence in me. And I tell you, God's wanting us to see tonight that we could stand in awe, that God could use the likes of you, and God could use the likes of me to help someone else to the feet of their kinsman redeemer. I believe that. Brother Rose, you went and saw that boy baptized. I about guarantee you tonight, if I set that boy down here and there wasn't another person listening, I said, son, you got any confidence in your daddy? He'd say, oh yeah, preacher. I'd say, you got any confidence in your granddaddy? Amen. You say, preacher, is it that serious? It's that serious. Whether we're talking about at school, whether we're talking about at college, whether we're talking about on the job, where we're talking about at the gas station, it's that serious, beloved. You and I can be used of God, and we ought to stand in awe. You know, God could use a cow. God could use a donkey. God could use anything He wants to, but He chose to purchase a bride, the church, and He wants that church to be a witness of that redemption that we've experienced in the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what the Bible said here. She said here, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law,
It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field. See, she's being instructed not only by Boaz, but by her mother-in-law to stay put. I wonder how many people in this world have missed God's best because they refuse to stay where God wants them. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, it's important. I believe there are people that will leave one town, go to another town, never even looking over there to see if there's a fundamental church. And that ought to be first. That ought to be first in line. Say amen. Where are we going to church? That ought to be first on our mind as God's people. And the word of God said, Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that I go not out with this maiden, that he meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest, of the wheat harvest, and dwell with her mother-in-law. I did a little bit of research. I didn't know this. Perhaps sometime or another I'd studied it out, but I don't remember well. And I did a little bit of research. Barley harvest in Israel would begin around March or April. And the wheat harvest would begin around May or June. And the wheat harvest was completed in June or July. So what I'm wanting you to see tonight is what's taking place here is not just over a day or two or a night or two, but there's several months involved. And I believe the more that Ruth got to know about Boaz, the better she liked him. I believe the more that Boaz got to know about Ruth, the better he liked her. And I believe the more that went on in this field, Naomi understood that there's somebody that we can't see that's got his hand on this whole situation. I think about Marge and Jim, Sister Joy. There was somebody we couldn't see that had his hand on the whole situation. Amen? I'm telling you, we ought to stand in awe of how that God can use one person to help another to the feet of Jesus, to the feet of their heavenly Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. Let's start in chapter 3. The Bible said, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? I've done a lot of studying about that rest, and that rest, I'm not trying to change the Bible, but it carries with it the idea of security. What Naomi desired for Ruth is a stable, secure situation for this woman in Israel that had chose to come with her out of Moab. And so Naomi said, I'm going to seek rest for thee. She said, that it may be well with thee. And she said, Now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Let me ask you something. Do you think that Ruth knows that without Naomi? I doubt it. Naomi knows the culture. Naomi knows where he is. Naomi knows why he's there. In that harvest, they would sleep with the grain because there were thieves. And Brother Larry, I studied this out a long time ago. They wouldn't come and steal it while it's in the field. That's too much work. They'd wait on them to get it. What is it they call it, Miss E, when they throw it up in the air? They winnow. They'd wait on the wheat to be winnowed and ready to eat, and then they'd come steal it out of the pile. Amen? And so those that were in the place there where Boaz was, on the threshing floor, they were there for a reason. Now, Ruth or Naomi knew where he would be. Naomi knew why he was there. But she tells Ruth in verse number 3, Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. Now, you say, Preacher, I don't see what that's got to do with us. Listen to me tonight. You can make application. The whole Bible is not written to us, but the whole Bible is written for us. The Word of God said this Old Testament is written for our admonition, for our learning. In other words, beloved, there's people in the world, I just now thought of Tyler, that met me right there on a Sunday morning and said, Pastor, I want to be saved, but I don't know how. There's a lot of people in this world, if they knew how, would love to get to Jesus. Amen. And see, what I'm trying to get us to see tonight here in the Word of God is Naomi knew the way to Boaz. Ruth didn't know the way, but she was willing to coach her along the way. And I'll say this tonight. I'll go a step further. Not only do people need coaching, they need some instruction in order to get to Jesus, but they also need some instruction after they get to Jesus. They need somebody to take them under their wing, somebody to help them. She said, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee, excuse me, down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. She doesn't want a scene. I love this. And the Bible said, it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, excuse me, tonight. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. I'm telling you, beloved, these are some detailed instructions. And Ruth is not going to make it without them. I want you to see something tonight that I believe is wonderful. You remember when Lot tried to tell his sons-in-law that judgment was coming to Sodom. You remember that? And the Bible said he, Lot, seemed to them, the sons-in-law, as one that mocked. Well, here's somebody giving instruction, and somebody don't, listen, Ruth doesn't think Naomi's mocking. Her instruction lines up with her life. In other words, it's goodly, godly instruction. And Ruth is willing to follow it. She doesn't know the way, but she's willing to do what Naomi has asked her to do. And the Word of God said, she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me. Oh, God, give us some Christians like that, that would open their Bible and say, God, all that you say unto me, I will do. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly. I love that right there. She came softly. You say, preacher, what's the big deal there? It wasn't, beloved, that she was barging in and thought she deserved a place or that she deserved a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. But she came softly, the Word of God said, and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now listen, I've done some studying. You go back in Jewish history, and there are those that believe that they had a sexual encounter this night on the threshing floor. I say hogwash. Let me ask you something tonight. How in the world could you take this and get that out of it? I believe that's crazy tonight. You say, preacher, why? Well, a couple reasons. Why would a man even mention that there's a kinsman nearer than him if that's all he was interested in? The Bible said up here, watch this in verse number 11, and now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do unto thee all that thou requires, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. You tell me how in the world, first of all, that an encounter like that can be going on when he don't wake up till midnight. That's crazy. That's foolish. Just like Hollywood when they put Jesus on the cross having some kind of ungodly thought. That's crazy. I've never watched one of those movies. I've just read a little bit of the articles. And that's enough to make me puke. Here's a woman that loved God. Here's a woman that was willing to be taught and be instructed. And Naomi gives her the instruction, and it works. She's going down there. Beloved, the Bible said in verse 8, It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, the woman lay at his feet. It startled him. And the Word of God said, and he said, "Who art thou?" You said, "Preacher, why would he say that? He knows who Ruth is. It's dark." Amen? And he says, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." Now listen, she's actually proposing right here. She said, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." I'm telling you tonight, without Naomi, Ruth knows none of this. And I'm telling you tonight, if you and I would take our responsibility seriously as Christians, that we could stand in awe that God would use the likes of you and I to help somebody else to the feet of our darling Jesus, our kinsman, Redeemer. Somebody helped you? When I made that statement just now, how many's thinking of that person right now? Somebody helped you? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a deacon. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a mama. I can remember going from prison door to prison door into prison and talking to men and asking men over and over and over. I asked this question, is there anybody in your life, anybody that you believe with all your heart that they're going to heaven when they die and the Lord Jesus is their Savior? Those men, listen, never had one say no. Every one of them would say, "Yes, sir." I'd say, "Who is it?" And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling it like it is. I would say 95% would be safe. It wasn't a mama. It wasn't a daddy. It wasn't a brother. It wasn't a sister. Brother Ike, it was a grandmother. You say, "Preacher, why did you say that?" We've lost a generation. A grandfather. Once in a while, Brother Wayne, once in a while, in that 5%, there'd be a man that'd say, "My daddy's a preacher. But I done like the prodigal son. I wasn't going to have it. And I run out into the far country, and I got myself in trouble." Beloved, I want you to know tonight, you and I should stand in awe at the opportunity tonight to know that God could use us to help somebody else along the way. Naomi gives the instruction. Ruth follows the instruction. The Bible said in verse number 10, and he said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." Why? He said, "Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." This tells me now that there must have been quite an age difference between Boaz and Ruth. And he realizes that all those days, that those weeks and those months, Brother Larry, out there in the field, her eyes could have been turned another way. She could have went after another man. But you know what she wanted to do? She wanted to carry on her husband's name in Israel. She wanted, beloved, God to be her God. The Bible said here, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit," I love his character, don't you? He says, "There's one nearer than I." We got something else that's keeping us from doing this. There's somebody else that has more of a right to redeem you than I do. You remember we studied one time about the kinsman redeemer. I don't know if I can remember all the things or not, but the kinsman redeemer had to be able to redeem. Ain't that right? And the kinsman redeemer, and this is what we're getting to now, had to be willing to redeem. You see, there's a nearer kinsman, but we're going to find out in chapter number 4, he was not willing to redeem. And so Boaz is going to be the redeemer. The Bible said here, and now it is true, that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a kinsman nearer than I. He said in verse 13, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if thou wilt perform to thee the part of the kinsman, well. In other words, that's the way it will be. Let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, he said, lie down until the morning. When he said, as the Lord liveth, he was saying, Ruth, you have my word on it. We're going to check with this other man. If this other man wants to redeem you, then he has the first right. I don't know. Maybe this is a stupid illustration. But I don't know how many times, Brother Houston, that I've bought a pistol, or Brother Jimmy, you could relate to this, or a rifle off of somebody. They advertised it, and I called them, and we made an agreement. I don't know how many times that I have met a man somewhere to purchase something off of them, and they'd look at me and say, I got 6 phone calls after I talked to you. It don't always work this way. I'm serious. It don't always work this way. They said, I've got 6 phone calls, and I told every one of them, if this man don't take it, then I'll give you a call back. But I've done told. In other words, that man was good for his word. I bought a pistol off a fellow a while back, and he told me that a fellow offered him $100 more for it. That gives you an idea why I wanted it. Say amen. Jimmy, you got a little bit of John Dockery in you. There ain't no use you look at me like that. Amen. This man is saying, you have my word. There's one nearer than I. And he's got to have first shot. But if he don't do it, I'll do it. Let's go on down real quickly. I'm standing in awe tonight at how God placed Ruth at the right feet, the feet of Boaz. He can use one person to help an individual along the way. He said, tarry this night, it'll be the morning. We've already read that. Let's go to verse 14. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. In other words, still dark. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. So this was an unusual occurrence. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. I want you to see this man's character. There's no guarantee, brother, that this nearer kinsman is not going to do the part of a kinsman. But yet, he don't want to send her home empty. The Word of God said here, bring the veil, watch this now, that thou hast upon thee and hold it. I read up on that. It was probably just an outer garment that went over her garments. And it's up in the air. It's a toss-up as to exactly. It says 6 measures. I don't believe the lady could carry 6 bushels. I understand. I don't know exactly what the 6 measures means. But I won't tell you this. It was a whole lot. You say, preacher, how come you know that? Well, she took it up over in chapter number 2, what she had in the field. But Brother Ike, in chapter number 3, the Bible said he laid it on her. In Israel, it was common for ladies to be able to carry a lot of weight on their head. Y'all know that? So whether he laid it up on her head, whether he laid it up on her shoulder, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to tell you something. He loaded her wagon. You know what I believe? I believe he knew that when he sent her home with that, I'm going to show you in just a minute, that Naomi was going to say, honey, it's going to be all right. This is unusual. Watch what the Bible said here. Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. That's what I did with my wife when we got married. I promised her rocks as big as diamonds. In verse number 16, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. Can you imagine Ruth rehearsing this? Can you imagine the grin on Naomi's face, thinking, "Oh my goodness, I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was going to be good." And I believe Naomi's thinking, "But it's fixing to get gooder." Watch this. And the Word of God said, she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Watch in verse 18, I'm done tonight. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Here's the confidence that she has in Boaz. Said, "For the man will not rest until he have finished the thing this day." Brother Wayne, he's not going to wait a week. He's not going to wait a month. He's going to get right on it. We're going to find out in the next chapter. He goes down to the gate. I think there's 11 men. I can't remember the number for sure, but I believe there's 11 men that come by. He says, "Sit down here. We got some business to take care of." Amen. And he finishes what God started in Ruth's heart when she left Moab to go with Naomi back to her people. God wants to use you tonight. Brother Larry, God don't want to just use preachers. He wants to use every one of us tonight. He wants to use every Sunday school teacher tonight. He wants to use everybody that's come to know Jesus as their Savior. You say, "Preacher, everybody knows how to be saved." How many knows that's not a true statement? A lot of people think I've met people that thought they're saved because they live in America. They said America's a Christian nation. I believe it was founded on Christian principles, but I believe we're even getting away from that. You say, "Why do you believe that?" Well, listen to a representative, I think, from Minnesota. I might be wrong. Her name is Ilhan Omar. She hates Israel. Are you listening to me tonight? That's in the Congress. That's not a sidetrack now. Socialism is in the Congress and in the Senate. That's not a sidetrack now. It's becoming mainstream faster than we think. I've run into people that thought because they did good and they didn't cheat nobody, didn't kill nobody, they're going to heaven. Some people think because they go to church, they're not going to go to hell. They're going to go to heaven because they go to church. But the truth of the matter is, you'll only escape hell and you'll only go to heaven if you've been born again. If you've trusted Jesus, if you've been to the feet of Jesus, been to the feet, Brother Ralph, I think the opening song was Calvary. If you've been to that place where you can say, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. Knowing not," there it is, "knowing not," Ruth didn't know, "but I stand in awe that one person's direction, one person's instruction made the difference in her life." How many's glad you come tonight? Appreciate you coming. I really do. Appreciate you being here. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Let's stand together tonight.